Forever! Dog!
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
Upcoming, we have upcoming actor. You might have heard of him. He's a new guy on the scene. Alan Tudyk is in this episode. We're so lucky to have him.
He's an up-and-comer. We're so proud to present to the world.
Yeah, first time for everything. And we just kind of discovered him in the real diamond in the rough. And we're talking about season 7, episode 3. Of Star Trek, Interface
is a Geordi episode, and we're excited about it.
Obviously,
and we're especially excited to talk with Alan. Thankfully, the conversation was so pleasant, and
It wasn't unpleasant.
It wasn't unpleasant. It was pleasant.
We get into some vulnerability, and some election talk, and
I have a breakdown. I cried. I had an emotional breakdown with Alan Tudyk when I could have done it with any other guest.
So
we kind of talked a lot. So we split it in two so you can enjoy it all
right now.
So this is part one.
I saw our kiss, Alice, in ADR. It was really funny. Yeah, the kiss is funny. It's, I feel like you've seen it kind of in a lot of ways, in a lot of different ways. But it's your reaction that really busts it. That's where I laughed was in your.
Whoa, really?
Yeah.
What do I do?
You draw. It's you don't see it coming. The fact that she's like, that was not the worst kiss I've ever had. Just, I don't know. The way you laid it out really made it funny.
Oh, that's I love it so much. I love our show.
Yeah. It was neat to see.
I am so sad I missed whatever happened, but you can tell me.
Definitely, it's really important, I think, for this recording for everybody to have their most ridiculous giant visor on. So if you have one.
I'm really bothered by light. Like, are you guys, you know that when it's overcast here in LA right now, and that kind of light makes me very, like, it crankies, it makes me cranky,
it
but
does,
it's not,
it does.
From it the outside, it cranks me, you know?
Cranks me right up.
It cranks.
So Alan Tudyk is here today, and we're so excited to have him.
You know him
from My Friend, My Life. You know him from being friends with me, first and foremost. He's been
in
Star Wars.
That's the first way I know him.
He's been in Moana. Probably people who are cool know him from Firefly, because that is a cool show that cool people watched. And
only cool people.
Only the cools.
Welcome to Tricks in the City.
Yeah. Alan, thank you.
This is Veronica, my co-host.
Hello, Veronica.
I'm Veronica.
I feel like we've met.
Yes, we have met. I'm sure we have
met. Sorry about that. Well,
yeah, Alice is just like, you know him from my friendship, but maybe I have a friendship and you don't know.
That's a really good point. I don't know your life. I don't know you.
It's true.
Maybe I've just seen you in tandem with Alice in this sort of situation.
Hello, producer Anna here. You met at Joss Whedon's Christmas party. Okay, bye.
Oh
my God.
Joss Whedon's Christmas party.
Oh.
Wow. This is, now I started off feeling like, whatever, they met before. And now I feel insanely jealous.
That is so funny. I thought
you
were in shock.
Joss's party.
Our producer Anna, by the way, has such a creepy memory. It's amazing.
It's really good.
It's like a computer.
I don't have a creepy
wait,
memory.
Wait, we have a message from the beyond. What is it? Anna, what is it?
I don't have a creepy memory. I was at the party. I was invited, okay?
Record scratch for no reason.
Wow.
Anna was there.
Thank you, Anna.
Anna, were you working, catering, or?
Wow, no, I wasn't catering.
Alice is such a fucker. Oh, my God.
I wasn't catering, but I did bring snacks. I brought cookies. And Alan and I had a conversation, and he said they look like the devil, but then his
look
wife...
Look at his face. He's mortified. This is...
But then his wife tried one, and she liked it, so that was it.
They look like the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, because I can't eat them, and they look so delicious. That's why they look so good.
Oh my God. That actually makes total... That does make total sense. If you know Alan, like Alan really likes to eat normal food, like we all do, but he can only eat like half a chicken or something every week.
I can't eat. I got allergy tested and I'm allergic to everything.
No.
I was tired a lot. I was having.
Sorry. Keep going. Tell your story.
I was just really tired and sluggish and not myself, and I had dark circles in my eyes all the time, and then I was told, and then I got a food allergy test, and I'm allergic to chicken. I can't eat chicken. I can't eat gluten, of course. Sugar is bad, but like
sugar is
you're
bad.
Gonna get, yeah, I'll get diabetes if I eat sugar. I've got the pre-diabetes bullshit.
Oh my god, me too.
Fuck that. I loved cakes and cookies.
I loved cookies.
Milk. Cakes. Any dairy is out. Almonds
they disappeared.
Are out.
They
Cashews
disappeared.
Are out.
No. They
yes,
disappear from your life.
Soy. So when you go to like substitutes, the soy's gone. But anyway, oats even. I found that oat milk. I was drinking oat milk and then I was slightly allergic to it, and then I stopped eating oats and I found my life. I had so much more energy.
Wow.
No, anyway, I'm allergic to, I didn't even touch all the things that I can eat.
That's incredible.
Those cookies. Oat.
I'm sorry.
Oat flat white. Oat flat white is my favorite.
Oat flat white.
I'm so sorry that all the foods went away, even though they're right around you all the time.
Yeah, luckily my wife is allergic to many of the same things, so we both suffer together. It's great.
Oh, that's really good. That's kind of romantic. That's
yeah, that's a structure. That's like a, okay, we can do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When I discovered that my wife and I were both allergic to oats, it reinvigorated our sex life. And I'm going to get graphic here.
We both had a hard time not eating anything
together. I'm fascinated with that because it really begs the question, like, at what point are you going to be eating clay? You know what I mean? Like, it's almost like there's some sort of like cosmic energy pointing you towards some like food source that we haven't discovered yet as a human race.
Yeah,
and
you have to
you're
become
like
the
patient
inventor of
zero.
Food.
Yeah. And you're like, oh my God, particle board. You didn't realize, you know, it's so good for you because you can't eat anything.
It wasn't like pangolins or bats, because that seems to be a bad thing to eat.
So what do you eat nowadays? Air, smoke? I mean, what? How do you
air? Mostly air and smoke.
Yeah. There's a lot of gluten-free products out there now, like gluten-free bread.
Yeah.
Avocados I can eat. I can eat pork, although pigs are really great, so that's tough. I can eat steak, which is weird, because I don't think of steak as being something good for you. I can eat turkey.
They send you to the meat end. They send you all the way. Well, but what can you do?
So like, my favorite breakfasts that I actually make for myself quite often is a protein pancakes with turkey bacon. And I gave you the recipe for that. And so you and I do
eggs?
Actually
you
eat
did.
Similarly.
I
Wait,
made
can
them
you eat
once.
Eggs?
Uh-uh.
No! Ouch,
no,
that
so
one hurts.
Baked
That's
goods,
a bad one.
Baked goods are tough. Although Bob's Mills or something like that, a guy makes different grains and stuff. It's like, he has an egg substitute that does a good job in baked things.
I've used it. And I used a substitute egg for breakfast, like a full scramble. They're really good.
Uh-huh.
And they can, you can make a bunch and and put them in the fridge because they last forever. They're not real eggs. So.
Is it soy based?
Yeah.
I need to go check. I think it is.
Well, we're going to cut to
over that.
We're going to cut to a commercial really quick, and then we'll be right back. Do you guys love donuts made of flour and eggs? Well, here's some donuts that you're going to love for free. All you have to do is be able to eat them. Chocolate frosting and donuts and all sorts of cakes.
Right to your door.
Right to your door. In fact, they're there right now.
For free.
We know where you live. That's right. FBI donuts at your door. Just go check. I swear to God, we're there.
All you have to do
is just be able to eat them.
Yeah.
That's it.
So easy.
In fact, we're going to pay you $5,000 to be able to eat these donuts
with chocolate. And a surprise company.
A surprise company?
Yeah.
That sounds so dangerous.
You just have to eat the donuts.
All you got to do is eat the donuts and get stock at a surprise company today. Donutsatyourdoor.com. Anyway,
who's
I hope that
this?
Ad
who's
wasn't...
Who's paying for this?
Seems like a CIA hit. Alan is very familiar with my like sound effect antics because of Level AM.
Yes, Level AM.
Can you for me and everyone out there, what's
if
all,
you're just tuning in?
Yeah, if you're
I'm
just
Alice Butterlin here with
in,
Alan Tudyk and my co-host Veronica Osorio.
Why would you move a podcast all the way to minute like what 2013 and start there?
Yeah, that's a question for you if you're just tuning in. Why are you just tuning into a podcast? Mm. My quarantine in Vancouver was I had 2 weeks where I was
inside. How are
you
guys doing? How did you, wait,
what?
I'm sorry, before you keep going.
Did
I
you just
remember,
get here?
Help me translate my brain, please.
Alan, feel free to make fun of all of us and our lack of.
I wanted okay to ask Alan about the 2 weeks quarantine because you were all together in the same building, right?
Yeah, but he wasn't there.
Was
he lives there now.
Yeah.
Alan and his wife and their
easy
dogs have moved,
way,
like fully relocated to Canada because Carissa is Canadian.
We live in Canada now.
You saved yourself in case it gets a Handmaid's Tale.
Yes.
You're mm-hmm out. You're already out in Canada.
He's going to be who we stay with.
Right?
Yes. So. And this will be the room. This is the room we'll stay in.
Thank you so much for your hospitality.
Yeah.
It
you'll
just
recognize
looks so
this curtain.
Cozy.
I'm home in the gray box. Honestly.
Thank you. It looks modern. It looks like I'm in a.
So modern. Yeah. The light goes on and off. I love it. Honestly, it's great.
So let's talk about the Level AM.
Oh, sorry.
So
okay. Yeah.
Okay,
so everybody came up for 2 weeks to Vancouver.
Yeah. It was myself and Meredith Garrison.
They all stayed in a building.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Corey Reynolds and also Sarah Tomko and Levi Feeler. Levi was, we were all in with Chris Sheridan, the creator and writer, were in this building with, eventually we got some other guest stars came and we had to stay there for 2 weeks, not leaving our rooms. So not like the building. We couldn't leave our actual rooms. One time for just shits and giggles, I put my foot out the door as a thrill. And so—
How did it feel? Did it give you what you needed or no?
Honestly, yeah. So the day like three, I realized that I was downstairs or like the first day I realized Levi and I were above like one floor away from each other. Like he was right above me. So we could hang out on the balcony and talk. And
that's
he's
good.
Really into weird old music. And I had this huge like setup to do podcasting and Twitch streaming and stuff. So
we've seen it.
I was
we've
like,
enjoyed it.
I was like, Levi, let's do a morning radio show where we just broadcast to just the people in the building, which it was called Level Furnished Living. And so we sent this link to the whole cast and everybody in the building, not everybody in the building. I did try actually to see if I could get a way to email everybody in the building, but to those who were in quarantine and those, you know, paying attention to those in quarantine so that we could like hang out every day at 10 a.m. and like talk. It was a warm time.
That is beautiful. It's warming up my heart.
Yeah.
So why was I not invited on to Level 8?
This is the major.
Oh, wow.
You would think.
Yeah.
When I think of radio, of which I've done before when I was
okay.
young, I think of voice and voice characters and, mm-hmm, and sketch mm-hmm. and things like that. That is part of what I do in my career as an actor.
Professionally.
I also do a great deal of voiceover.
Uh-huh. You have the resume. You have the skills. You have the
way more than any of us.
You have the talent. Okay, so?
I was not invited to come
on. Oh, my God.
I asked if I could come
on. Alice.
You did not.
I was told, no, I did.
Who?
You. I said when we were on some kind of Zoom meeting before we all started some Zoom meeting for Comic-Con or Metaverse or something like that. And I said, if someone had a radio show right now mm-hmm. and they were looking for somebody to come on and do like a thing, I have an old radio voice. Come on.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Damn it.
Okay. Yeah. I see it. Just now. I was like, okay.
That guy is based on some of the old radio guys that are on Sirius FM. Cousin Brucey, who sounds like he's just taking his last breath.
Look at Alice. She can't.
Yeah.
Alice is mortified.
Anyway, but we didn't do that. And my love of music, which is deep, but whatever. It doesn't matter. We also had Liz.
Seem affected by it. And you know what? I would be too. That's what I'm going to say. But
you know, Liz is a sketch comedian. She did improv in town at the theater. She was before the theater, now it's defunct. So many opportunities, but whatever. It was fine. It was fine. It didn't get under my skin at all.
You seem like it did a
flower a day,
frankly,
for the cast. And I could have come on as the flower guy. There's so many.
The flower guy.
You know, Alan.
Because I was finding flowers from Vancouver and sending everybody in the cast a flower a day.
You were in communication with them.
It was so, well, yeah, we all are on a text thread. So it could have been like very easy to translate the flower guy to being a guy on the show. But mm-hmm. you know what, Alan?
100%.
Let me tell you something. Can I tell you, can I level with you? I don't.
Level.
Oh my God.
I am ready for this level.
Okay, I'm going to be really honest. Like, we just don't think you have what it takes to know. I couldn't even finish it. No,
I knew it.
No, Alan, you know, you're like intimidating. You have a lot of resume. And so when you send those flowers every day, honestly, swear to God, Alan, you are like the guy. So like when
a hero,
you the man. So like when you send the flowers every day, a little bit, I'm like, wow, we're doing literally. I think about it like this. Both Levi and I will say this. We're doing this dumb radio show and we're all so stupid. And then Alan's like, I have the flowers to share and I'm a poet. And today I understand
you love your music. You had too much resume. You were overqualified.
Your music goof around time. I thought you tuned in every once in a while to be like, you know, they try, but I know about flowers now, and it's amazing. I don't know what I just like, you know, I self-judge now that
the
I know.
The drama of being refined. That's the drama of being refined.
But the cool thing is we have so much left to do, and we have so much season left to film next year. And
can I say something about this?
I have no.
From the beginning, Alan heard that it was a show for the people in the building.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. Oh, you're asking. I don't know if you're asking.
I'm just like this person who's like both sides are
right. Well, I wasn't in the building. The people who were on the show were people who were living that experience. Although,
because I got jealous. I got jealous. But
then
I heard the building
was there. The actor Tony Hale was in the building. He was just a couple floors away.
You said he was. I thought you were joking.
Yeah, he was there. He's in North Van right now. He's doing a show
for myself.
I wish I could write fail like this.
Yeah.
His show won a...
Fail.
Emmy?
Okay.
Won an Emmy.
Yeah,
for
I think that's what those are
just
called.
For
won
Spoonie,
an Emmy.
For Spoon. Yeah, for the Spoonie guy.
That's me.
Forky. Sporky.
Affirmative.
Hey, everybody. This is the B-Man, OBW, from the World Record Podcast. And I'm here to let you know that me and my co-host, the A-Train, a.k.a. Hershey Hellman, took over office hours live this week. We came into the studio. We made it our own. We wrecked the place. I stole one of Tim Heidecker's guitars. So check out Office Hours Live on your podcast app of your choice or at youtube.com/Office Hours Live this week and see what happens. Or go to worldrecordpodcast.com and you can watch the videos or join the Patreon, patreon.com/worldrecordpodcast. Enjoy the show!
It's showtime!
Alan, I have a question for you.
Good.
Yeah.
It's a little bit surprising of a question, but do you watch Star Trek?
I do. Now, I watched this episode.
Good. That's good. That's a good thing.
Next Generation.
It's a good start.
It has been a very long time. When this came out, I was watching it when it came out, and I was a big fan during those days.
And tell me more.
Yeah, because we're like, I always ask this to every guest. Like, do you watch Star Trek? What's your history with it?
Don't worry. We're not.
Some people never watch it. Some people are like crazy fans. Most people's parents are fans.
Right. Well, I'm a fan. I haven't seen all the old ones. I saw some of those in reruns. They were always very funny and camp. And I think I've seen the major ones.
Yeah.
You know, the ones that are always replayed and referenced.
Yes.
But I was in love with certain characters and like had the hots for different people. I like Crusher. I like Dr. Crusher.
You're a Crusher. Yeah.
It's always Counselor Troy. So you say Crusher, and this pleases me.
This is refreshing. This is exciting. How old were you at that time?
Oh, I would have been 16, 17, 18, right in there.
Makes sense.
Perfect age.
Makes sense.
Because you're thinking about all that, like...
a doctor.
Meta, existential stuff that this show actually touches on, you know? Mm. Like the, mortality... you know, infinity, like those big, big ideas.
Diplomacy.
I feel like that starts to be like in your head and when you're a teenager. So it's a really good show. That's when I got into it, really. 13 to 16, you know.
Oh, wow.
It was in syndication at that point. Because I'm, you know, I'm in my late teens.
I know.
And you've been for a long time, Alice. Congrats.
Okay. Anyway. So you had a crush on Crusher.
Crush on Crusher is great.
She's beautiful.
Yeah, she is.
And I liked Data was my favorite character. Which makes sense because I ended up I've done robots and the character that I'm playing with Alice right now has a lot of similarities.
Yes.
That he has a very shallow emotional palette.
Yes.
That's exciting.
That's right. Yeah.
I'm excited for your show.
I cannot wait, guys, for you to see.
I can't wait to be like Yas every episode.
You will be like Yas every episode.
I know.
We're doing ADR now. So I did ADR on 2 or 3 episodes. And there's a really funny one where Allison is with an ex-boyfriend who's now married and we're on a date. Your character and my character on a date, and we're over at your ex-boyfriend's house with his wife and their son. And their son can see me as an alien. Anyway, I probably can't give stuff away, but
I was like,
is a very funny dynamic between you and the new wife or the wife of the ex-boyfriend. But it's not like a real anyway. It's very funny, and I have problems with this kid.
So you are like very much the show anchor because, you know, this whole your character.
Which is and I'm why gonna go back you to, were seeing me in that way, I have to think. The flower guy thing.
Would you?
Because it's
would
called Resident Alien and I'm playing the alien. I do.
Yeah, exactly. You're playing the resident and the alien.
Yes.
Essentially, because you play the resident that the alien, right? So like there's a lot. And, you know, I've been a fan a long time, so it's intimidating for us people.
Did
in
you
our
know
late
Firefly?
Teens.
Your Star Trek fans. Girl, that's something I didn't really know.
Girl, did I know Firefly? Okay, please. Come on.
I never watched Firefly because I'm saving it.
I'm a firehead. Ooh. Total firehead. I'll tell you that a thing?
Yeah, but I watched Serenity.
No, I love Firefly. So many shows want to do what Firefly did. And then Firefly, yeah. You know what I mean? And yeah. It's all because Joss Whedon has this really strong character. Like, he bases things really, you know. Anyway, I have a whole thing. But I love that show. And I
love that you like sci-fi. I've met comics. And you probably know them. Comics who have, who are really kind of, who are like nerds.
Yeah.
Who have this kind of like nerd thing. Mm-hmm. And there are comics like yourself, Patton Oswalt, Jordan Peele, Keegan-Michael Key. Also
the Greats
like
and
sci-fi.
Alice. Yes.
Yeah. Well, the Greats and yes. Alice.
Like she belongs okay. with the Greats, as we all know.
I think I'm already with them. So.
And with, yeah.
Just pointing it out, making it super extra.
I always thought it was funny. I always thought it was funny that.
What up?
Hey, Garrett.
He's saying hi to you.
So tell him. Tell him now. He's lucky. Tell him he's lucky.
Veronica says you're lucky.
I'm so lucky. Yeah.
He knows to say that.
I saw Alice's thanks, boobs, and yeah. I'm like.
Yeah. Well, not the full. You didn't see the grotesque bottom part.
It's true. I didn't see the grotesque bottom part.
You saw what was covered by a bikini top. Underneath, it's all coronavirus.
Oh, wow. No, it's I thought, yeah, it was going to be like a blob.
I wanted her
substance.
To be on time today, so I was like, how to get Veronica to be on time? And I was like, I know, I'm going to make a sexy video for her.
She starts with her boobs and I was like, I'm listening. And then she was like, be on time. And I was like,
you really have to do.
I shall be on time.
It's fun. It's a fun game to figure out how to get Veronica to show up to the things that she said she'd do. So
I'm dealing with it.
There's, you know, what I was saying is like, yeah, I'm a total sci-fi nerd and a lot of the reason we decided to do this show, this specific show with Veronica and I, is that we're both young-ish women who are, we do comedy, we also act, but, you know, one thing that we've noticed is that there's not a ton of female representation, especially in, like, especially in the Star Trek multiverse, like, in Star Trek fandom. Star Trek fandom is a very, very diverse world. Like, if you go to a con, unlike other Star Wars is pretty broad as well, but Star Trek, you go to Star Trek cons and it's like you see every single shape, size, type
it's
of person
heaven.
That there is on Earth.
It's
and it looks like you're in a starbase. Like,
it's
that's
so
how diverse
good.
It is.
There's
like,
Klingon families and there's like all kinds of actual families.
Like, it's every like, kind of wheelchair, space wheelchair
kind of
you can imagine. Everybody's
body type,
genderless. There's just like it's open.
It's
guys in
fab.
Skirts. It's everything, yeah. And
it's fab.
It's fantastic. So I kind of was like, I want to do a pod that's like not about, not like the kind of fan pod that we've seen in the past. It's more of a fan pod for people who are just like we are inclusive. So we have a lot of guests on that don't. Really know a lot about Star Trek so that
and
we can
also you know like in the comedy world every time I try to talk about Star Trek I was just like frustrated because all these dorks are like well in the bloop 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 and I'm like I care about Troy I just want to know what happened to them when are they gonna fall back in love
yeah, we have
so I don't care about like the machines and the bloop bloop blaps you know
but you know about them too it's just that you're in
naturally.
Isn't your in isn't the, like, you know, how many decks does the DS9 Starbase have
I'm
versus
into it,
the, you know, there's, like,
yeah.
things like that. The gatekeeping is not allowed here in Treks in the City is kind of what I'm saying.
There's no gatekeeping. There's, like, even haters can come, are welcome. I love haters.
Gatekeeping leads to hatekeeping.
What? You like haters as a way of, like, turning them into lovers or do you like haters as in bring it on hater
they're welcome too you know like if you after watching the episode, you were like, I hate this, I'd be like, all right.
Yeah, we've had that a couple times.
Like, let me hear it. Let me hear why you hate it. Let me hear what's wrong with that.
Yeah, because there's some non-bangers in the lexicon of this show and in the canon. And so we'll have somebody on who's never seen a show before, and it's like one of the bad ones, and they're like, I don't think I'm ever going to watch another episode, guys. You're like, well, yeah, that's our fault.
So is this the first TNG episode that you're watching in like a long time?
As an adult man, as like an older dude. Yeah. I'm surprised how calm everyone is. I also didn't know Ben Vereen was in it. He plays Jordy LaFarge's father.
Yeah. They got ahead.
And he's one of, I love All That Jazz, one of my favorite movies of all time. And Ben Vereen, huge stage, musical theater guy. He's barely contained in that role. You can see he's ready just to go pow, and do some number or something. There's just too much jazz in his eyes. It's happening.
Jazz eyes.
He has total jazz eyes.
Barely holding it.
You've heard of jazz hands, folks, but you know, have you seen the jazz eyes?
I just want to ask you, like, how did it feel to watch an episode for, like, in terms of like sitting down and was it like, oh my god, as I'm watching the episode, you're having flashbacks from when you used to watch it, or what was the feeling?
I'm realizing that it was a different time, because I'm seeing things that are dated that I didn't register as dated at the time, like so many shoulder pads. Why so much padding? Everyone,
well, they got a pad
just in case,
because it was late '80s and '90s, and that's that. It looks like David Byrne stuff.
Mm-hmm. You got to be a triangle.
Yeah, so you got that going on.
You gotta be a triangle,
girl. You gotta
be a triangle. Baby, you know it.
Ooh, girl.
And it's all very, you know, it's on sets. I haven't watched it since I did Firefly, and so kind of that was the way I see space shows now. And this is, it's a very mature show. It's but it's good storytelling.
Yeah.
I don't know. As an audience member, I think we're all a lot smarter now than we were back then. So you can see things coming. They're like, well, we can't turn this sensitivity up any longer, any higher. You might get hurt.
Yeah.
So make sure that, what's that sensitivity at right now? 70? 70, all right, we'll go to 72. But just 72, don't go any higher. So you know from the beginning, he's going to get jacked.
I will say.
Sensitivity's going to go too high.
Yeah, that's like Chekhov's sensitivity
episode.
Level.
Okay, so I was watching this episode, and I had that feeling, and then I was like, don't start getting in that mindset of like not understanding. But then it's like true that some episodes, I don't feel it coming that like hard as this one. Where it's like, he's about to leave, and they already agreed that it's urgent. And then someone in between two lines says, like, we're running out of time. And it's like, why are you, like, unnecessary dialogue and, like, a little bit of, like, a lot of, like, leading and mapping.
So,
that was, like, obvious in this one in particular. But it's usually also, like, generally a little bit obvious.
It's I mean, and that's the way they told stories.
It takes
back then,
you by the hand
in a
like
lot
this.
Of ways, right?
Yeah.
Netflix interface description: episode 3 of season 7. LaForge is distracted by the news of his missing mother while he uses a new remote probe technology to search for a downed spacecraft. Okay, so we're gonna just watch this cold. Freezing open.
So I immediately, when I turned this on, personally, I was thinking, whoa, I don't remember the episodes where he didn't have his visor. That's right, he didn't have his visor, but he always had those contacts in. And so you're caught off guard, like, well, suddenly he can see.
Right, yeah.
And you're like,
the device of not mentioning what's going on in the beginning. And you're just, yeah, exactly.
Ammonia, fluorine, potassium chloride.
It does sound like he's calling for his children. Dinner's ready.
This is some leather shoes, those dress shoes on.
Yeah, they always have. That's a super Star Trek-y thing. No one ever has tennis shoes. Floor time really makes it big in the 24th century.
Oh, I can feel the heat from here.
Thank you.
There it is.
How far?
About 10 meters up the ODN line. Boy, it's hot. I'd say over 2,000 degrees.
And so you're like, so Geordi's climbing through a space tube and he says it's 2,000 degrees and you're like, what?
Yeah, why would you go further?
Yeah.
It's 2,000 degrees.
You're vaporized, man.
It's because this is...
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. You're about to spoil it, but yes, he's in a probe suit. So his... Like, it's like a super realistic hologram. Virtual reality situation.
By the way, this is the weirdest cold open ending. I just, like...
Yeah, it is really
weird. I didn't understand what, like, the point in which it did, and then I realized that they needed to, like, still make a turn. But why didn't they make the turn the cold open? I don't understand it.
Like, it was weird. This right here. So he walks up, he's still in the probe, and he walks up to a screen and sees no reflection of himself.
Geordi, what's wrong?
Nothing. I'm seeing my reflection in a panel. Forgot what a handsome guy I am.
And then you see the reflection and it's like not there. And that's the cliffhanger.
I mean, it is an emotional, it's an emotional cliffhanger because
such a weird
Geordi seeing himself for the first time.
I think so that's gonna be filed under
on, right.
At this point in season 7, like maybe that's, I mean, that's what I care about. I just wanna know how the characters are doing. Personally, you know, especially Geordi.
Yeah.
He's like beloved.
But Geordi's beloved. Early on, Alan, in the series, we discovered that Geordi mentions to Beverly Crusher in an episode. Like, I think it's the first episode. He's actually like, she's examining his visor and she says, is it causing you pain to wear this visor? And he's like, yeah, it hurts a lot. And she's like, well, do you want me to try to operate? And he's like, nah. And then they never mention it again. So he's just in constant pain.
Inside his head.
Oh my gosh.
They're like, never.
They set it up in episode 1 and then they never address it again. So,
like, I think people forgot. But like, as a character, yeah. you're like, should I be groaning?
Never forget. Never forget.
Is he on like heavy pain meds or something for it?
No.
I think an in-universe explanation would be that he has like a high tolerance, but like I actually think the writers just forgot that detail because he never, it doesn't ever get addressed or come into play again. So,
I was thinking about how this episode is the first one that. That I realize that Geordi actually, or that I actually pay attention to the fact that Geordi comes from a Starfleet family, like very powerful, like two parents. And then like, I started thinking about how like his mom is this like captain, this like powerful woman. And then his dad is too, and they are known in Starfleet. And how he's like almost half robot because of the visor. So just like thinking about all of Geordi's life.
Right.
And thinking like, oh my God, the episodes where he falls in love are all like holograms of like super smart women that are like not real. And I'm like, oh, mommy issues.
Totally. As our friend Ben Rogers would say, like, Geordi always falls for a hard light woman.
Only holodeck women.
A hard light woman is amazing.
That's so funny.
So there's the big linchpin of this episode.
Mm-hmm.
And Alan, I should tell you, I should have warned you, this is an interject and interrupty show that we do.
Oh, okay.
So you don't feel that you have to respect us ever. In this show or out of it, but also in this show.
It's so hard to agree, but I agree. I mean, yes.
It is true, because we don't...
It's hard to... take it out of context. Okay, let's go.
It's a goddamn mess. So this is the emotional turn of this episode is when Geordi is informed of his mother's death, or disappearance rather. And it's, you know, Daddy Picard has to tell him the news.
Geordi, I've just spoken with Starfleet. The Hera is missing.
Missing?
See?
Yeah.
Okay. Him.
Captain LaForge has disappeared, along with the rest of her crew.
Captain LaForge.
Captain LaForge. So we get a commercial break.
You see, that's a very mature response to your mother might be dead.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, they would be pushing into you see the emotion in his eyes, but you're looking at...
You can't see his eyes.
A barrette. It looks like that pushes your hair back.
It's a visor. So, it's visor time.
It's his visor. His visor. He's... I you said he's half robot. I would say it's more like 3%.
Cyborg.
But he's a little bit asexual, and also thinking about, like, about his thing, he's just like...
What thing?
His like warp core or whatever, you know, his like engineering things. And then I don't know, he's kind of like the perfect human best friend to Data, who wants to be human. Like there is the casual and the robot, the human who's like only falls in love with holograms and cares about engineering and has a visor. Yeah. Like he sees in shapes and colors. I'm just like impressed by Geordi this episode.
Yeah, I am too. And I really feel like this next scene, the Ben Vereen jazz eyes, we'll call it the jazz eyes scene, has a, this for me is kind of where it goes a little haywire because, okay, well, I'll just play it.
Something I've got to do anyway.
This suit is lit.
His hands get burned and they're like, we have to readjust this probe.
How are you, Dad?
As well as could be expected under the circumstances. Are you okay?
Yeah.
I spoke with your sister this morning. She said she'll be in touch with you in a few days.
He has a purple ball.
Right now, she's pretty upset.
A divination.
The service for the Hera will probably be on Vulcan. Most of the crew were from there. But your sister and I want to have a private ceremony.
Oh, yeah.
Dad, don't you think everybody's jumping the gun here? Last I heard, there were still two starships out there looking for them. They found no debris, no residual warp distortion.
And no ship.
Not yet.
There we go. There's those eyes.
Starfleet is considering the Hera loss.
Oh, he's got so much energy.
Search isn't much more than a formality at this point. Geordi, your mother's gone.
Yeah, well, you can think that if you want. But until I see some hard evidence, I'm not going to give up hope.
This is the most controlled performance I've ever seen him give.
All right, Geordi. Call me if you need anything.
Mm. And right after that, he probably was like, zoobity bop bop boop boo.
Yeah. Yeah.
He hopped right up.
It's just
too
like.
Much. It's even better, he was bored.
It's weird to jazz after that scene, you know, but I'm sure he pitched it. I mean, I would have.
He's like, what if I communicated to him in scat? I'm like, we could try it. So I just want to say, I do feel a little bit with this episode that like everybody is jumping the gun. Doesn't it seem like?
I know.
Like they're like, well, your mom's ship disappeared, so she's probably dead. And
it's like, Geordi, can you have no hope and be just chill?
And everybody's expecting Geordi to just like deal with it. Your mom's dead. And he's like, but it's space. Like, like, you know how people often just rematerialize all the time in the transporter beam. Like the guy, there's an episode where Scotty like just appears because he's been trapped in a transporter beam for like 50 years. He just appears. So like there's a lot of ways in which this could go,
right?
You know, like, and they've already figured out how to like recreate life and all this clone and everything. So like, everybody's like, yeah, she's gone. Don't worry about it. Like, it's been an hour. Like, can you maybe just
also, he's
look?
Like, I have a theory. And everyone's like, have you considered that you're just in denial? And it's like,
yeah, but
man, like,
he's being so reasonable. Like, no, I'm going to look for my mom. And they're like, oh, God, why?
What is the amount of hours
it's his mom.
I should wait? Like, I don't know. Yeah, Jordy.
One day. Ugh, get over it. How you guys feeling?
I had a breakdown yesterday.
If Biden wins, then the border will open up and I can come back home from time to time.
See, back to LA. It's like the stakes are kind of high, you know, this election.
You think?
Yeah, I think that's actually a big deal. So,
well, people are voting in record numbers, and that's exciting.
That is exciting. I'm very happy about that. I've got to turn my ballot in on Monday. Veronica, have you voted yet?
No, I had a breakdown yesterday while trying to fill up the ballot because
I can help you.
And I was being helped. So,
okay.
Frankly, it's just like, I started thinking about the common person who just needs to vote, and maybe it's not like in the same circles as we are, or like just like I think of like a Hispanic old person who maybe can vote, and like what she's thinking about, what she's translating from every like.
Well, she gets one in Spanish.
Prop
so.
And stuff. Yeah, no, but still, like, okay, what do those numbers mean? What are they saying when they say like certain words? As someone who speaks English as a second language and also who has trouble with that kind of language because it's just like ADD poison, frankly. Yeah. It's ADD. Sit down with a dictionary. It needs to be a book so that I don't go down a rabbit hole online. Mm-hmm. I was like, who else has this difficulty? How much depends on this? Like, I started getting stressed about that idea, like... The explaining what it is that's at stake in each one of the circles you're putting in
right.
was so powerful, but also like overwhelming.
Yeah.
And just like it felt like a big responsibility. And I just had, I'm getting emotional again, but I just like, I really did have a breakdown. Like, wow. This decision, like, I hope I don't make the wrong one, you know? Like, I hope I'm reading what I'm reading. I hope my sources of information are explaining it the right way. I hope that just because I think something's good inherently, it doesn't mean that it's damaging another community somewhere else, like, without me knowing how the consequences is going to be. Like, some numbers were really big, like, $7 billion. And I'm like... Wait, I just don't even understand what this means.
Right.
Like,
right.
I don't even understand what it means for the economy. I don't understand what it means to, like, put that money into something. Like, I just suddenly became very aware that I need more knowledge, that things need to be more accessible. I don't know how many people have access to understanding this information and what it really means and how many people are questioning it and... I just suddenly got very sensitive and became very stressed. I just was like,
yeah.
Well, I can't become paralyzed about it just because I may damage a community here or there. Like, I know I need to vote. I have the right. I'm basically voting for, like, everyone in my community because my husband can't vote. You know, my best friend can't vote. No, none of my friends can vote. Not even, like, Siobhan, that's my best friend who's British. You know, it's like... Well, everyone is from a different country. I am lucky to be an American citizen. And just like I'm being very honest here, but I'm just like, I come from Venezuela, you know? Every election was just like this high stakes emotion, hope that we will get out of what we were going through. And then the elections were such a joke and a fraud and like a non-real thing, and it legitimized even deeper a power that we just really wanted to get the fuck out of there because they were damaging our country so rapidly.
Yeah.
And it just kept being this joke that legitimized everything. So when like I'm faced with a choice that I don't like, you know, and I see how each prop has all those numbers and all these things and people get affected.
Yeah.
I'm just like, what am I willing to legitimize? Like, what happens if my vote, well, like, doesn't get there? And it's just like PTS mixed with information, mixed with being a sensitive person. So, but I want to put this out there because not everything is pretty like, oh, let's go vote, because that's the campaign. It's encouraging people to vote like, yes. And I was like that at the beginning of the day. But when I sat down with the real thing, I was and understood the weight of it. I was like, holy fuck. So it's like, I feel overwhelmed to help, but I think people need help in voting. And I'm just like, I don't know, I'm just going to make it my mission to help people understand what they're doing when they're voting. Like, I don't know how. It just became like very real, very quickly.
I can help you get involved because there's this awesome Voto Latino is a really cool outreach for Latinx people and Spanish speaking people that is fucking like raging right now. It's like super tech. It's like super tech savvy, mostly youth powered, specifically targeted at Latinx communities in the US and like helping them to empower themselves through voting and communicate with their, it's like, it's, it exists. Like, that's the thing. This technology stuff and this like, this moment is so overwhelming and there's so much at stake that it is, like, it's overwhelming to people who aren't in your situation of PTSD, which you have in spades because of your own, like, your own, like, situation with being from Venezuela.
I don't
want
to have to move countries again. Like, yeah, I already uprooted and left.
I know, honey.
Like, I just...
I know. It's like that, and when you... And then you put pen to paper and you have to deal with that, it's like... of course you're experiencing this because you're...
I don't want to start over again.
Yeah, it, of course you're experiencing this. And then you have to imagine all the other people who are experiencing it. And then you're like, oh God, it's all on me and my friends can't. But that's why that, you know, you reach out for help in those moments because like there is an actual, there are lots of people who are there to help. And I would also encourage you to, I tweeted this yesterday, listen to this interview with Joe Biden because it made me so excited and like actually like pumped to have him in office because he's like this very corny, very like knowledgeable, excited old guy who's like cares so deeply about every single human being in this country to an extent that it's like you actually are like, all right, weirdo, you know, you actually... You want to give everybody a hug? Okay. I'm not like that, you know? Like, and it's actually uplifting. You're like,
your
oh.
Your hands away from me. Thank you.
No, no. He is like this, like, he's, yeah, he's a cheesy dude, but he's like, no, it's just like so cool. Like, what we can do with this opportunity, with this corn initiative that, and you're just, and he's like, I know it's boring. I know you're bored, but like, I'm excited. And you're like, yeah, you go do it. You are the guy. You go do it. And it made me kind of feel like, okay. You know, it's not all doom and gloom. Like, it's, there's, like, we have been absolutely shocked and awed and weighed down by an immense amount of bullshit that no generation has had to deal with up until this point. And now, you know, it's hard to imagine. It's hard to imagine that anything is ever going to be okay again.
I just don't know if I'm, like, yeah, I don't, I just... Basically, yeah, it does feel so high stakes. I just don't want to damage anything, any, you know, anyone, any community.
I already know
what the community leaders say. It's too much information. It's like such a task to sit down and research it. And you do need help to know what they're, you know, who'll sit down together and do it.
Yeah, but help is available, Vero. It's like, I know.
Yeah. And then you can become a, once you learn from them, then you become the advocate for other people.
Oh, yeah.
Number one thing I need to do after that, because if I already spend the time researching and crying and having a breakdown seven times, like, might as well fucking go and help someone else, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's totally like, you can, you'll do a phone bank with Voto Latino and you'll like connect because of your bilingual, you're bilingual, it's like you're such an asset to.
So what's the website? Do you know
the campaign right now? Just it's votolatino.org.
I see it. Okay.
You're such an asset and you're so like valuable as a outreach person besides the fact that you have like the comedy chops and the like personality for it. So you're like, you're going to feel so good after you do like an hour of phone banking. You're going to feel amazing.
What if I cry in every phone call? What do you think about that?
It's actually, they ask you to.
Do you think that would help?
They actually say if you can possibly and don't, it's not needed, but please do cry.
All right. Yeah. I can do that. Hey, I might be up for the task. Yeah, it's just, I like to put that perspective too out there and like sharing this vulnerability because I imagine other people are going through it and it just feels like.
Actually, they're not. I'm just kidding. No, they are. You are. Yeah. No.
It feels like a little bit like, I don't know, just walking with them. Because the campaign, which got me also to this point, is like, vote is easy. There's resources. You can do it. And it's like,
yeah,
I can't handle even like text messages. Yeah. When it gets like too full, I'm like, I'm going to disappear for 2 days. Bye.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Just like, can't. Yeah. So this country, it also made me feel like, wow, this country has such resources and it's so powerful. And even in this, in a statewide or like a local countywide choice, we have so much power, you know? I never in Venezuela saw that kind of power, or I did, at least I wasn't aware of it. And then here I see it and I'm like, this is like, it is a pretty historical moment, so
it's catharsis, yeah.
It just felt big. It felt big. It feels big.
It is big. It is big, but you're
feels like the border here.
Yeah, sort of. Yeah. Yeah, the border are a little bit here. So
red alert.
You know what? Red alert.
Yellow alert? Alan, sorry for doing that. I never have breakdowns in the show, you know?
Alan, it happens every time.
No, please don't.
The cool thing is once you learn how to help other people, then so you'll vote and then you'll find people that are in the same place you're in now. You can help them through it and it'll help them make their vote count because, you know, they might be making a mistake that would take your vote away, basically, you know, that they just need a little help to get to vote the way that
that's what I need to do. I need to drag people towards my vote.
Yes.
By explaining to them what it's free choice, you know, but like, drag is a maybe not a good word for something like vote, but definitely help understand what they're going to make.
Yeah, if they're going to make a mistake and vote for something they're not even for, but they would be doing that if it wasn't for you, then you are saving your vote and you're.
Yes, that is the truth.
You're making sure your vote counts, their vote counts, everybody's.
I have a question for you guys. How do you feel as California residents? Well, now you're in Canada, but you were in California, right? The fact that I want to vote for the guy. For my presidential vote to count, and it feels like it doesn't.
Trump?
Yeah, I mean for the presidential election, as a California voter, it makes me feel sad that I know this is a blue state. So it's like, tell me about it. I want to hear about it. I want to hear about that perspective because I hear a lot of people online being like, it doesn't.
The popular vote, because of the last. Here's my perspective. The last time around, 2016. We know that Hillary won the popular vote by 3 million votes. That mattered even though Trump won. It mattered in terms of the way people looked at the electoral system because it's another election on top of maybe the last, I don't know, there's a number, but like there's a lot of presidents that have won the popular vote, but like not by that much and then lost the actual election. And so imagine this situation where when another president wins a popular vote and then can't win the actual electoral, like that shows the break in the system. So it did even matter last time. And now this time around, the reason it matters is because if you vote for Biden in a blue state, the popular vote is still counted, even though it doesn't like specifically count towards the actual results. So if the popular vote comes back that California voted like 99.2% for Biden, that's going to mean so much in terms of the ability of the Trump administration to dispute the results. Because the more popular votes come in, the more the, like, we're talking landslide victory versus thin margin electoral victory. That's why third party votes, I think, are a big mistake this time around, is because, like, if the voting population, the body politic, as it were, comes out and says, undisputably, this is our choice. Like, yes, we got the 270 electoral votes, but we also got the, you know, 10 million margin popular vote. It's undisputable. Like, there's nobody's going to be like, oh, but are we sure? You know, so I think that's why it matters. I also think we're moving towards a non-electoral college system at some point. At some point. Because nobody wants it anymore.
God. Yeah, except for Republicans. Because if you're a Republican in California, they have the argument more of saying, I voted for Trump, but because more Democrats are going to vote for Biden than vote for Trump in California, then all of the electoral votes are going to go for Biden. So they're like, their vote doesn't feel like it counts because they vote for Trump, but the state votes for Biden. So they get that place where they're like this. They're in that situation where a lot of Democrats in Texas have been, where Democrats in Georgia have been, where whole communities of, you know, people are being excluded from the voting process because they're in these.
Yeah. The reason it counts is because you're in California. You know what I mean? Like, you have to vote. You're one of those people. You're one of the voters that is the reason that we go blue. If everybody suddenly who wanted some other candidate, you know what I mean, was like, oh, my vote doesn't count. Like, I should maybe just write in Kanye or whatever. Like, then we wouldn't be a blue state anymore. We'd be a fucked up, weird Cal exit state, which, no thanks.
That is good to know. It's good to hear. It's good to remember. It's good to remind people. It's good to know that, like, maybe the reward of the voting in a blue state won't be necessarily like, oh, you made such a huge difference, but instead you did, but morally, emotionally, just in terms of the number in case something happens, you know?
Yeah, it's not like they don't keep track once they get to 270. 270 being the down ballot electoral votes. Yeah, and the down ballot.
The down ballot races are even more, because that isn't electoral. That's popular.
And
so,
yeah, the whole reason.
Those are the people that you can go, oh, the DA. He's actually somebody who's Black Lives Matter. You can find candidates
George
who actually are completely aligned with who
you can go. And you can get Measure J, baby. Measure J is where it's at. You got to go Measure J. So pumped about Measure J.
Yeah, that's good. No, I understand in terms of state, county, you know, all the local ones, just the presidency. It's good for people to know. It's good for people to know that even though the system is not perfect, voting still matters. It still counts. It still makes a difference. And it's like in Venezuela, it just didn't anymore. And yeah. I understand what that could be. But here, I feel the excitement that it does still count. It still matter. We still have a voice that's legal in that way. Yeah. You know, we still have a system. So
if Trump wins, this will be the last time that matters.
It could be.
For a long time.
It could be.
If he wins, he'll make it so that the elections don't
matter. That's going to be a fuck around and find out moment.
That's why it feels like such a gold nugget to have this election here. It's the time. The time is now. Venezuela lost that power. That gold nugget went away forever. And it's just sad.
Yep. But
so
you never know.
You
never know.
If you can vote, please go and vote. That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
Yes. I'm going to think about this while I run through the Canadian woods with my dogs here, because we kind of left and we're like, we'll be back. And we didn't come back.
Wow. That's crazy.
Didn't come back.
It really didn't come back.
That's crazy. No. You leave somewhere. You're like, I'll be back. No.
So that was our episode part one with Alan Tudyk. Stay tuned next week. Space Talk is coming up. We're talking about space, space acting, space cons, the full-on end of this episode as well.
Life is hard. Life is hard.
Forever.
This has been a Forever Dog production, executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. To listen to this podcast ad-free, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcast.com/plus. Check out video clips of our podcasts on YouTube at youtube.com/foreverdogteam. And make sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Forever Dog Team to keep up with all of the latest Forever Dog news.